and Louise Davidson. I'm not a lab type of person, and the reason is because my research is collaborative and community-oriented. I create a lot of partnerships with schools, with community centers, with NGOs, and I like my research to happen in the field as much as possible with my co-researchers. So my research, what it's about, traditionally I've been interested into the pedagogical integration of technologies, digital technologies, and also in the emancipation of human beings and society with digital technologies. So those are the two interrelated areas that I'm looking at. And my newest interest in the past year and a half has been on maker culture. Collaboration is central to my lab or my research. As I was telling you, like if you think of the lab as a more inclusive space where it happens all over the place, then I'd be comfortable saying, yes, I have a lab. But I don't have an idea of a researcher that, you know, collects data and ends up in front of their computer and gets the students to transcribe the interviews and then analyzes it and says, well, you know, we've aggregated the data and this is what it looks like. And to be honest, I do some of that. It does have to happen, but when I say collaboration is at the heart of the work that I do, the research that I do, and at the heart of my living lab in a certain way, it's because there is no way I can do proper research if the questions don't come from my participants, which I also call my co-researchers very often. If they're not fundamental problems that they're experiencing that they really want to have an answer to. So I really start from the needs of the milieu, and very often I wait until some partner says, "Hey, Louise, we know you do this kind of research, and we're thinking it would be a great collaboration if you would come." So I'll give you an example of that. I have a group of six schools with school principals, teachers, special educators, daycare workers, special education technicians, and so on and so forth, that work with me on a project that we've been conducting for 3 years now. And what we try to do is we're trying to create a professional learning community that will generate specific learning communities in schools. So I want these people to become the leaders in generating a professional learning community that will eventually get the schools to work more collaboratively, include senior citizens, include community workers, community organizations, parents, a variety of community partners into the schools to help give a better experience to students. So this is one example of the kind of research that I do. And all the others are tinted by that. I have expertise in action research, but also I have a lot of tools that I use that I make decisions at the last minute, you know, oh, it seems as though we're saying this, and it would be great if we could have a structure to give some parameters to the discussion. So I use masking tape on the floor and the index cards, and I try to structure the conversation, and I get the people to sort of externalize their thoughts in a research perspective so that it can both serve me and serve them into solving the problems that they're experiencing. We researchers are a little bit outside of a lot of things that are happening. And while we're interested into societal issues and so on and so forth, very often we're not experiencing them. You know, people were criticizing a lot Pokemon Go, for example, and until you've actually downloaded on your phone and go meet the crowd and try to participate in that movement, don't criticize because you have no idea what's going on. And I think that's one of the things that researchers often do, is that we try to theorize things. We have access to a lot of knowledge. We have special training. We often feel like very special characters of a very special story, but we often miss the grounding. And I think that's what it does. Having a plurality of voices allows me to see a variety of perspectives. And sometimes I understand a problem in a certain perspective, but then somebody else comes up with something else, which I've completely ignored, and by listening to what people have to say and not dismissing them and trying to give them some credibility, no matter who they are, it actually helps a lot in making the research much richer and much more lucid. That's what I mean by lucid. You know, a case in point, I did research with people with intellectual disabilities who were high functioning, so people with about 70 IQ. While the research in intellectual disability says, you know, these people are disabled, they have all problems with autonomy, you know, they're, it's such a pity, you know, for example, if you look at a parent that has a child with an intellectual disability, it's a tragedy. You know, you're looking at this and you're thinking, well, my child will never marry, will never have a career, will never have a house, and so on and so forth. And people understand disability with a very, very narrow perspective. And part of that has to do with the labeling, with the culture, with the social stigma, and so on and so forth. But working with people with intellectual disabilities and a collaborative action perspective, where instead of coming up with some psychometric instruments to measure their intelligence and their incapacities and so on and so forth, I decided to start with their problems. What is it that you'd like to do? And they tell me, well, we don't know. We're the intellectually disabled. And I say, well, I want to know what your real problems are. Well, I'd like to have a job. Well, everybody says, well, you have a job, right? You volunteer at MBNA. Well, that's not a job because I'm not getting paid. I don't feel a value. And they have told me this, but it took 3 months, right? And once I know this, then I can start acting on it and I can start seeing, well, maybe we need an employment center for them. Maybe we need to, instead of having these people who are working in these community centers and receiving them in individual offices, we need to revamp that thinking and we need to put these workers into the community with them to assist them in the workplace, to assist them in integrating into apartments and so on and so forth. And that's what we've done. And I think that this is not simply my work, but I've joined movements of people who are doing that. And when I am able to get people to talk about what really matters to them, and I'm able to do research and measure things simply and get them to not only identify the research question, the problem they live, collect the data with me, but also interpret the data with me. That's a completely different vision of what research can be, right? And of course, when I publish this, then it becomes a struggle because where do I publish this, right? This is not the typical research in intellectual disability, but at the same time, I think that that's our job as researchers to try to push the limits of knowledge and discover things that haven't been discovered before. That's how rich it gets when you have a plurality of voices inside your research.